Session number 24198, Reel 8.
So what then were you told about the situation in the Western Desert in relation to Rommel and what was going to have to be done to...
Well, we knew then that once Tobruk fell, he had nothing between him and the Suez Canal. And we had a hunch that we'd be going back up the desert again, which proved correct.
Tell us about the trip back from Palestine, from Lebanon. I understand there was a few precautions taken.
Precautions? One precaution before we left Syria was we were told to turn our uniform jackets inside out, and the WOG kids still knew that we were George. How are George and we're supposed to be in disguise? The Australian troops were on the move again, but the kids knew it. When we got in the train, they were all down around the bloody trains to see us off. We knew we were going back to the desert then.
I understand changing number plates, all sorts of precautions in relation to taking off colour patches, the whole thing.
Oh, yes, yeah. That was the idea of putting your jacket on inside out.
I understand that Lord Haw-Haw again knew of the move and was saying things like informing that your troops, that German Luftwaffe is waiting to bomb you men of the 9th Division into oblivion as soon as your convoys reach the Suez Canal. Did you hear any of those sorts of propaganda?
No.
But everyone knew regardless that you were on the move anyway.
Oh yes, once you got to the place on the canal there, you had to get off and go across the bridge by foot. Once you got there and you started doing that, you knew damn well there was only one direction to go, and that was back up the desert on that.
How did that make you feel?
Not too happy to be going back, to tell you the truth, but...
Because up until that point you could have been coming back home.
That's what we thought, yeah. But once we got there and started walking across the bridge, all our hearts fell then, I think. We knew we were going back up the desert. But we were soldiers and we had to just do what we were told. We knew that Jerry would be in full strength with the troops he had in the desert. So that was actually the start of Alamein.
Do you recall going into Egypt at all? On your way?
No, we just... all desert as far as we're concerned, just follow instructions, go as far as they said stop, dig yourself a hole and get in it.
What people talk of a traffic jam?
Traffic jam?
Do you recall anything like that? Troops coming back and you going one way and then...
Well, I saw... our tanks, or English tanks, when we were going up, they were coming out of the desert, they were going helter-skelter. And I thought to myself, well, they're going behind us, they should be in front of us too. There must be German tanks chasing them, and there was. But we just still had to just dig our trenches and get in them and wait till Jerry come down.
As I understand, the initial conflicts of July and the initial contacts with Rommel have been halted in the early Alamein situation. But obviously your next main involvement was at Ruin Ridge, am I right?
Yeah.
What do you recall of the preparation made in relation to that action for you?
Well, nothing much. It was just a ridge, or a small mountain kind of thing, and we knew that we had to take it. We were told at our briefing that it had to be taken and held at because it was an important position in daylight. There'll be that much artillery fire and tanks. And they'll take over from there. We took the place. Oh, it was dark at night time by the time we'd taken it. We scraped a hole to get ourselves in. And we held it till 1 o'clock, and the only tanks we saw were bloody German. The only artillery fire we struck was our own. They lined the Germans had taken us prisoner. The German tanks had overrun us. We had no firearms to counteract them. And we were just herded up to be counted, and that's when the artillery opened up, and that was our own artillery. They must have thought we were another squadron of bloody Germans coming to take over. We thought it was funny that it was our own artillery that was supposed to be helping us when we were holding Ruin Ridge. But it wasn't.
Did you understand at the time the location, the position of the ridge and the importance?
No.
So can you give us an indication of what it was like to prepare to advance on Ruin Ridge? What sort of orders were you given?
Well, I was the last man on the left flank. We were spread out in extended lines, our company, B Company, and I was the last man, and about 50 yards away was our transport was coming up, including an ambulance and trucks, and this 88 millimeter opened up. And the first thing he hit was a truck. That caused a blaze, and it lit us up where he could see us, and then the machine guns turned around and directed all their fire on us. We had to go to ground. We were laying on the ground all for about 20 minutes, I suppose. Couldn't move.
Can you describe to us what it's like to be fired on by 88 millimeter guns?
Well, they were the best gun in the desert as far as we were concerned, but they were
air bursts, I understand. How did that affect the troops in relation to being
the what?
88 millimeters were designed, as I understand, to blow up in the air and scatter shrapnel.
Oh yes, it could. it was a beautiful gun, actually. And the thing that annoyed us was that we heard that the Germans had shown that gun in the Spanish Civil War. They'd given it to Spain. And the British army generals and observers and everyone that was in Spain knew that the Germans had produced this modern weapon. It was a huge gun. It could be fired up in the air for anti-aircraft to a distance of what we heard of 32,000 feet. And it could be lowered down to be used as a to blow a tank up. And just a beautiful weapon. But we couldn't understand why the British hadn't seen it in action in Spain and taken notice that he did have the gun like this. We had nothing to counteract it. Just opened our tanks up like a can of fruit once it hit them.
So being held down by these guns.
Oh, the machine guns were—they're the worst thing in the world for holding you down. You can't just move. We had to go to ground, and you have to wait for someone that ahead of you that hops in and cleans the machine gun post out before you can move ahead yourself.
As I understand, you had actually reached the ridge at one point, but there had been confusion about where you should be.
Yeah.
What do you recall of that situation?
Well, we didn't know where we were going, actually, right over on the left flank, until we received instructions to stop and dig in. Well, the only thing we had to dig in was your tin hat, and it was bloody rocky outcrop. We had to scrape a hole to lay in, and within about half an hour of us taking this position and digging in, the fire started coming from the rear of us where we'd come from. And we thought that the only ones that could have been firing there had been the prisoners that we'd disarmed, kicked them in the bum and ordered them back. There was no one there to pick them up, apparently, we found out afterwards, and they came back and got their bloody arms and got in their trenches again. They were the ones who were firing at us. Where the silly buggers stopped up on the top of the ridge trying to hold the position. But they did... They did credit us with 200 prisoners that night, our company, that we'd taken 200 prisoners, but that never helped that much.
What do you recall then of midnight on the 26th? 2nd 28th advanced on Ruin Ridge with Major McCarter from the 2nd 32nd in command and came under heavy artillery fire. I presume this is when you're talking about 88mm bursts, am I right?
Yeah. They can...
By 10 past 1 a.m. the leading companies were on Ruin Ridge. The ridge was cleared by a bayonet charge, I understand, and 127 Germans were taken prisoner.
Oh, it could have been some other company.
It was later reported by Rommel that a battalion was practically wiped out.
Well, he was right there, but we didn't have anything to fight them with. As MacArthur said in his information afterwards, that it was just that we were overrun. We had nothing to stop his tanks, which we didn't. You can't fight a tank with a rifle and bayonet.
The ammunition convoy, as you were mentioning earlier on, came under heavy fire, and the area was lit up by its burning vehicles. So that was that was the 26th and beyond. In relation to then the situation that ensued, what do you recall in relation? As I understand, wounded were evacuated off the ridge.
Yeah, well, there was an ambulance was hit by an 88 millimeter gun that night too. People say, oh, you don't fire on ambulances, but Jerry done it, and we used to do it. Often ambulances carried bloody ammunition up to the front line, which they shouldn't have been doing, but that's why they used to fire on them, I think.
There's also talk of the relieving assault by British 69th Brigade failing to get through. And then British tank attack failing to get through as well.
Didn't see any British tanks at all. The only tanks we saw were German.
An armoured column was sighted. It was assumed that it was British, so Lieutenant Allen drove out to meet it and was killed. Do you recall?
No.
So tell us then, the Panzers breaking through in relation to the capture, you're being taken prisoner. What do you recall of that particular incident?
Well, I remember Jack Hawkes was next to me, and he said, "Here's tanks coming in, Jim." And I said, "Where?" He said, "At the back of us here. Look at them, there's four of them." And I looked back, because we thought our front was ahead of us, and there's four German tanks in single file coming towards us. Well, all we could do was just put our hands up, and otherwise they just run over the bloody top of you and crush you if you don't come out of the hole. But we knew it was the bloody, something had gone wrong somewhere.
What goes through your mind when you realise that you're going to be taken prisoner?
Well, you think of the atrocities that they might cause. They might finish up just shooting you. You can't do much about it. Once you put your hands up, you just do what they tell you.
You get the impression from some of the people I've spoken to that it's literally a game. It's a bit like a game, a bit like a football match.
Mm.
You play a game, one team loses, you march off the field. Is that some...
you could put it that way too, yes. Matter of fact, after we were taken prisoners, they herded us down to this off the ridge, and they were lining us up to get a count of how many men they'd captured or something. And it was then that our own artillery opened up on the position, and the German officer just said, well, take any cover you can get. He spoke perfect English. They allowed us to go, and as a matter of fact, I finished up in a hole with a bloody German soldier there, sharing his hole while we dodged this bloody salvo of bloody shrapnel. He didn't talk English, but he didn't mind me being with him. I suppose I wasn't armed or anything. And, I thought it was humorous in a way that we're both enemy and in the one hole, and it's our bloody guns that are firing, or my friend's guns are firing at me and him. But that's the way it was.
Do you sort of look at each other in a quizzical way at all?
Oh, yes, you try and, by sign language, more or less, if you wanted a drink or anything like that, you point to your mouth and you get through with it.
So after the attack, the artillery attack, what was to happen next? What did they do with you?
Kept us in a compound a little bit further on, and had a couple of machine guns pointing at the bit of a hurried wire fence that they'd put up, and we were just waiting for a meal that night, and we knew that we had no chance of escaping or anything. There were too many German soldiers around there. They were all quite happy that they'd retaken the position. We were unhappy because our mob never gave us any assistance. So that was Ruin Ridge, with the ruination of us.
The general feeling amongst you?
We didn't like losing the position at all after we'd taken it, with casualties and things like that. We thought we'd done a good job. They told us that it had to be taken at all costs. It was a very important position. But the rumour was, I don't know whether it's correct, but afterwards, they'd had all their new gear delivered, and they had it in the desert, and they didn't want Jerry to know anything about it. That's why they never used any of it. That's why they never gave us any shell fire or anything.
People talk of feeling guilty when they've been taken prisoner. Is that something that you and your men felt?
Yes, you feel as though you haven't done your best kind of thing. But there are cases where the odds are against you that you can't do anything else but put your hands up. You're outnumbered, heavily outnumbered. As I say, the four tanks that got about 20 of us, well, even 20 bayonets, you've got no chance of sticking a bayonet through a steel tank. So all you can do, they run over the bloody top of it if you don't give yourself up and crush you. So only thing to do is put your rifle down and...
People talk of having been trained in how to deal with tanks as infantry blokes. Things like sticky bombs and...
Oh, yes, the sticky bombs, yeah. You have to get real close to them they'll stick to a tank once you hit the tank with them, but they'd blast a hole through the tank, but you have to get bloody close to them to do it.
Did you have any training in relation to that sort of thing?
Oh, we had training, yeah. We'd used them in practice. Showed how to creep up on them, and we'd seen the effect that they made. The ones that we use had no explosives in them, but they had the sticky stuff to hit the tank, and just like treacle, they stuck there to them. When they're alive, well, they just blow a hole in the middle. They're a good weapon, all right, but you can't carry to them too far.
People talk of crowbars in the tracks and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'd heard that some had used bars in the track of tanks, but I don't know how they'd get so close to them myself. Unless they came up behind them, but even then there's generally a tank's got a lookout on them. They're not always in the tank. But generally someone has got their field glasses just above the ridge of the tank kind of thing. They know where they are and they know where the troops are. They can still swing a gun around and fire at you.
So you've been taken prisoner. What of your future? What did you feel at that point?
Well, nothing actually, I suppose, just being helpless and wondering what would happen to us, whether we'd go to Germany, Italy, whether we'd be kept there.
Some people hope that they might be relieved from advancing troops.
Yes, I suppose, yeah.
Do you recall any of the other blokes that were with you at this time?
Recall them? Oh, yes.
Who were some of the other chaps who were with you at this point? The whole battalion had gone, basically.
On my right, as I say, I was the last man on the left with Jack Hawkesville. Jack's only died over in the last 2 years, I suppose. And then there was Jimmy Bone. He's still alive, as far as I know. That was the two blokes immediately on my right.
Do you recall Keith Potter? Phil Loughman?
Oh, yes, yeah, but they were further down the line. Be about 10 yards between each man in an extended line, but they were further down. But I never saw Phil, or from the time we went in until after the war, he was in different. We were scattered all over the place.
So I didn't understand you were marched off and put in a pen.
Pen? Yeah.
Whereabouts, do you recall?
Oh, I was only a couple hundred yards away.
How long were you to remain there?
Well, I think we only stopped there that night. I'm pretty certain we were trucked out the next day in motor trucks.
How did it feel to be being taken further away from your own?
Well, I suppose you think to yourself, well, nothing can hurt me now. It's only wondering what will happen once we get to where we're supposed to be going.